So we want to get into the middle of the courtyard and get this body and this mind, okay? Much better than the current ones. We have to figure out what to do to get there. What would trigger that body and mind? What would cause that? And the immediate cause of that. And then work backwards. So I want you to imagine a room that's letting out into the courtyard. Because the lamrims are like that. The steps on the path are like that. You can imagine going through successive rooms, going through successive doors. And I want you to visualize it that way. Getting to the inner courtyard is going to take a process of moving through a series of rooms. And you're going to be coming in the, let's call it the southwest door, or whatever you like. And you're going to be moving out the northeast door, you see, towards the center, towards the courtyard. So each room is going to be a separate meditation, all right? And then for your own purposes, to remember the meditations, you fill up the room with whatever you want, okay? Like, I'll describe the meditation, but you have to think of a room. The first room is going to be immediately leading out onto the courtyard, okay? So imagine a room. It has a door on one side that opens into the courtyard, and it has a door on the opposite side that goes back to the lam rim before that, to the step before that, okay? And you can't get to the inner courtyard unless you go through all these rooms, one by one. So this will be a way to visualize and remember all the steps to the path, all the lam rim, okay? And then when you go and do your lam rim meditations, you can pick a room. You know, like, I'm kind of weak on room number 4. And you can't get to room number 4 unless you get through room number 3. And imagine a series of rooms like that. So there's no hallway, okay? It's just a bunch of rooms. Like, you got to go in, you got to get to this door, pass through the room, and get to the next door to get into the next room, okay? It's a series of rooms. And the lam rim is like that. You can't skip any of them, okay? And it's a good visualization, because that's the way it works. That's how lam rim works. You got to go to the outside, outermost room, then move in through each room into the center to get to the inside of the courtyard, to get to Buddhahood. You have to move through each of those rooms, and you have to know them. If you leave one out, it doesn't work. You don't get to the middle. You see what I mean? So it's a good way to visualize it. So you're going to be moving in through rooms towards the middle courtyard. Like, you're going, starting from the outside of the building, like maybe it opens onto a desert or something like that. And so, like, you're coming into the first door, moving across the room, looking around the room, and there's going to be some mnemonic devices, there's going to be some stuff in the room that reminds you of what meditation this is supposed to be. You can put what you want, okay? And then you're going to get to the next room, and that's going to have a different stuff in the room. It's going to remind you of that meditation, okay? But remember, we're working from the inside. We're working from the central courtyard back out, okay? So the first room that opens onto the courtyard is going to be Dzogrim. Say Dzogrim.
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 Okay, this Dzogrim is called completion stage, Tantra, higher Tantra. There's two levels to Tantra, and we're talking about what we call completion level. Completion level, okay? And this is the level that happens just before you get enlightened, okay? These are the practices that you'll be doing that get you enlightened in this life. By the way, this building is a tantric building, okay? Forget the sutra building. Sutra means open teachings, right? That one would be too big. That takes millions and millions of years, okay? Forget it. We're building a tantric one, okay? Which means that in one lifetime, before you die, in this lifetime, you can move into the central courtyard. You can be the being sitting there in the sunlight in the middle, okay? But you have to build a building this way. That's why Jetsun Khapa did it this way. Okay, so the last verse, this is really the last verse of instruction. He mentions both the stages. You see, in the fourth line there, he just says both the stages. And that's all he says, because it's secret. Okay, he doesn't say creation stage or completion stage. Okay, but you have to imagine, this is the final room that opens onto the courtyard. Now, what's going to be in that room? Okay, like, you have to stop there and do something, right? These are completion stage practices. I can describe them roughly. I can't describe them in detail. Okay. There's two reasons for secrecy of Tantra. One is, external. It's just, oh, we don't show these books to people. We cover up these paintings. We're not supposed to tell these secrets to people. I mean, it's not like the Masons, the Freemasons or something like that. It's not like I can't tell you because I took a promise and, you know, and there's some reason I can't tell you or something like that. Tantra is self-secret, meaning I could take you and show you. We have we have input 1,000 tantric texts into computer already, literally 1,000. And I could take them, I could read them to you, you know, I could show you all these practices, and you wouldn't get it. You see, I mean, it would look like something else to you. You see, I mean, you'd say, I can't believe he's doing that, or something like that. You see, it would look different to you. It would look weird to you. It would look something improper, maybe, or you wouldn't understand it. If you saw Lama, this guy's crazy, or something like that. I mean, there's a certain preparation you need, and there's a certain level you have to get up to before your mind is pure enough that you see it the right way. And to show somebody those things before that would just be useless. You see, they wouldn't get it, you know. Maybe a lot of the things you've ever seen lamas do are tantra already, and you just didn't get it. You see what I mean? Your mind has to be prepared. You show a kid a LSD cube with on sugar, you know. Not that I ever saw one, okay? And they just think you're eating candy. You see what I mean? I mean, they see a person about to do this thing, and they say, "Oh, he's eating candy," you know. And they would see it totally on their own level. You see, I mean, they would just interpret it totally on their own level. Like this person likes candy. You see what I mean? It has nothing to do with that. Absolutely nothing to do with that. You know, and the person himself wouldn't say, "I'm taking candy to see a higher reality," or something like that. I mean, he doesn't think of it that way. The whole practice of taking this thing has nothing to do with eating candy. But it looks like eating candy to a kid, and they can't interpret it any other way. I mean, you can sit there and try to tell a four-year-old, look, when you eat this, you go to a different reality, and you can see things, and they just wouldn't get it, you see. And it would be weird to try to give it to them, you know what I mean, or something like that. And they something might happen to them, or something might not happen to them, but definitely it's inappropriate. They wouldn't get it. They just wouldn't get it. Their mind's not at a level where they would get it, you know. I did this. I had this student who came to me and said, my husband came home and I did his laundry and I found Playboy magazine pictures in his pockets. And it really bothers me because I don't look like that, you know. And so I said, go buy me a Playboy magazine and bring it to my house, okay. And they're like, yeah, go. And so they brought it. And first I got this spider in a jar already, you know, and then I got a piece of meat, you know, and then a prayer book or something like that. So I said, okay, pull out the pictures that you think are the nicest. They pull them out, you know, and then I get the meat and I wrap it up in the picture, you know, and then I said, go put it outside. There's this dog outside, you know, and she puts it outside and this dog comes and this dog's always waiting outside for something to eat, you know, and rips through the picture and eats the meat and runs away, you know, and doesn't even see anything. You see what I mean? You get it? Like, doesn't hesitate at all for the picture. You know, it doesn't mean anything, you know. And then I put the other picture on the ground and I let the spider out on it and it ran around and it ran away, you know. Like, it saw that this thing was going to kill it, you know. Like, this picture was frightening. This picture was life-threatening, you know what I mean? And then we were talking like more and more, and I said, how do you know how your husband sees this thing? You know what I mean? You don't really know. You can't, I mean, the tantra is especially like that. I mean, you can't, for one person it can be a life-threatening thing, for the other person it can be something tasty to eat, for another person it can be something else. You don't know. How did Jesus, when Jesus opens Playboy magazine, what does he see? You know, they asked the Dalai Lama, I translated, CNN, you were at a French fashion show. We saw you. He says, yeah, I was, you know. And they said, well, when those girls were, you know, walking by, what did you think? You know, what came in your mind? And he said, I had an immediate reaction, you know. And they said, well, what was it? And he says, I can't imagine wasting all that money. You could give it to some refugees. And they wanted him to say something else, but it didn't even occur to him, you know. And so, I mean, it's a different level. You have to think of, I mean, it's a whole different level, and until you're there, it's not appropriate to talk about them much. But when you're ready, when you've prepared from the room before that, then it's quite natural and quite perfect, and everything is unbelievably beautiful and great, and all kinds of amazing things. I mean, those include practices I can give one open example, like cham dancing. Okay, now it's very popular to dance in the United States. These are secret. Okay, my lama, you know, they called him. They said, "Will you put up the dancers in the temple?" He said, "No." He said, "Why not? It's making money for the monastery." He said, "It's secret. You can't dance that." You know, so why are monks dancing? You see what I mean? What? It looks wrong. It looks improper. You know, what are they doing? I mean, the real thing is a Dzogrim and a Kyrgyam practice, and it has some effect. The Dzogrim's purpose is to work with your inner spiritual body. You have an inner spiritual body. It has tubes and pipes going around like plumbing, okay? And it's all clogged up in certain places. And these are these horrible knots that actually kill you. They're responsible for your death. They make these pretty little patterns that are called chakras. Okay, and people think, "Oh, great, I have chakras." And chakras kill you. Okay, chakras are these little petals that are formed by the tubes being tied up like a fish string. Fish, what do you call it? If you ever were a fisherman, which my father was, you know, and you get these big knots of the monofilament, like, forget it. Try to get it out. It's impossible. And your spiritual body like that is like that right now. If you're in the desire realm and you are who you seem to be, your plumbing is all twisted up and tied up and in certain areas of your body. And Dzogrim is the practice of untying them and transforming those. Okay. The cool thing about Dzogrim is that the physical basis for your death is caused by your mind. You see what I mean? The physical reasons why you will die, which are those twists and knots in your spiritual body, are due to thinking the wrong way. You see what I mean? So all you have to do is what? You have to reverse the thinking, you see, and then that clears out the knots. It's very interesting. To me, that's all very exciting. You see what I mean? So Dzogrim is the practice of primarily meditating in a certain way, and that opens up those channels, and then you don't have to die anymore. Then your body changes into the person in the courtyard. Okay, so we're talking about the final room of the Lamrim, very important room. If you can learn to think correctly about emptiness, and if you have Kirim, if you study, for example, the 11 stages of the room before that in Vajrayogini practice, okay? If you do all those things properly and you think the right way, and if you're learning to see the world the right way, it actually opens up the channels and your body changes into this other body. You see, that's the exciting thing, that you do it through a process of thought. Then you can do certain physical activities which also help correct the channels and make it easier to think that way, okay? You got it? So, you know, that's one example would be why is there lama dancing? You know, it wouldn't be proper to do it until you were close to that stage. You see what I mean? But there's a process where external physical activities help you straighten up the channels enough to think straight. You see what I mean? And then so you're working on the channels from both sides. You're working at them from thinking straight side, and you're also working at them from certain physical activities that help straighten out the channels. And then the combination of those two enlightens you, okay? So that's a long story, and I can't tell you any more detail than that, but that's Dzogrim, okay? So the last room is going to be a little fuzzy, okay? But you put in there those ideas, okay? You put them in those ideas that there's some trick about seeing the world in certain ways, understanding emptiness clearly, and then doing external activities which support the inner body and help you to see those things. So you're working on it from both ends, and that's going to be the contents of the inside room. So I don't know, you see what you want to see. I'd see some screwed up plumbing in the outside edge of the room, and then there'd be maybe some exercise equipment or something. Make it mnemonic, you see? You gotta remember, though. You gotta remember what I just said. So you make your last room whatever way you want, but it should have those elements in it. There's some kind of screwed up plumbing on the outside edge of the door, because towards the inside edge of the door it gets straightened out, right? And then there may be some books there that explain about emptiness, or they explain about the tantric view of reality. And all these things will be, and then some kind of maybe some physical devices that would help you get your channel straightened out, begin the process. Okay, so you're going to need the mental part and the physical part in that room, and something to remember the process. Okay, when you complete that process, your mind is enlightened and your body is a rainbow body. It's a perfect body. Okay, so that's what Jetsun Kapa is saying. He says both the stages. He's talking about first about completion stage. Okay, we won't get to creation stage till after lunch because we're late for lunch. Okay, you won't need lunch after that. But okay, all right. So go into that room, create that room in your mind. We'll meditate for like 10 minutes, and just get that room straight. It's very important to get the early rooms straight because we're going to build on them. Okay, if you don't have the ABC straight, you'll never get to XYZ. Okay, I'm sorry, XYZ straight, you'll never get to ABC. So you have to have the very first rooms we're talking about have to be very clear. And you put in that room the elements of what we talked about in a way which you can remember. Okay, personally, I'm going to have, there's this plumbing downstairs, looks very similar. You know, it's going to be all messed up, and then there's going to be maybe a what are those things you do bench presses on, you know? And it's going to be a book open to some, you know, completion stage instructions, and maybe a sweet lama in there who will teach me, and then, you know, so I can remember all the elements of it, okay? All right. And you can't get to this room unless you go through the other rooms that you haven't heard about yet, okay? So I don't want people running out during lunch and dancing around on the... okay? It's improper. It's wrong. It doesn't work. I mean, the most wrong thing about it is it won't work. You know, there's not like anyone's going to lock you up for doing it. It just won't work. So, without the other rooms. Okay, so here we go. Think about what I said about Dzogchen. And don't forget, the whole thing is a sundap, so you're also praying, you know, may I learn Dzogchen, may someone teach me Dzogchen. Okay? May I get my other rooms down so well that I can get to the last room. Okay? I would put the sugar cube there. Okay? To remember that, you know, it'd be very inappropriate to teach it to a person who wasn't ready to see that yet. You see? They'd think you were eating candy. They'd think you had a sugar problem. Something like that. Okay?